Right now, I hope you'll join me as we welcome poet and performance artist Joanna Lowe.
As I draw the blinds, throw the dust covers over the furniture of years, and sweep up our loose ends, odd thoughts and unanswered questions, I take a good look around the blank walls, empty tables, floors swept bare of life and love. And I think to myself, we really made a mess of things, didn't we? We've done our best to clean up as best we can, as best as we can bear. Lifting our heartbreaks into trash piles that seem to scrape the stars we wished on. Once upon another life. Packing up memories like souvenirs into safe places where we will be protected from remembering until a time in another life when we can bear to admit we once lived here. And tossing what's left into the cellar because we cannot bear to see it in the sun. And I think we've done our best to clean up as best we can, as best as we can bear. Even though the echo of your step still hits the floor behind me, your shadow still falls through the doorway across mine. This empty house. We've swept up, wiped down, and packed away all our time together. Except I'm holding the thought of your smile that I can't bear to pack away or take along. So I'll leave it here in the middle of the floor for you. If you can ever bear to walk through that door again, I think you know the place. We lived here once and laughed. As I turn off the last of the lights for the last time, put up the sign that says closed for business. Thanks for the memories. And pull the door locked behind me. I take my last look around. Blank walls, empty tables, floors swept bare of life and love. And I think to myself, I will miss my friend. Well, we've done our best to clean up as best we can, as best as we can bear.
That is Joanna Lowe here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Tell me about yourself a bit. I'm curious where you're from, those kind of things.
Well, I wasn't raised here in Pittsburgh. I was raised in State College. My father was a minister, and we moved around a bit. But I've spent the last 20 or so years here in Pittsburgh, so this is home.
Oh, you're still considered a new person to those on your street, maybe. How did you, when did you start writing poetry?
I think the first poem I read out loud for as a part of my dad's work was in fifth grade. It was Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening by Robert Frost, and I was playing around with poetry since then. I was published after college, and I continued writing. My writing and theater passions were my two majors in college.
It's one thing to read Stopping by Woods, but another thing to actually share your own poetry, especially something as evocative as what you just read, which I assume is written from experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difficult thing to do. Do you remember when you decided you would like to try doing that?
It was just over a year ago.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. I've been acting for many years, and on a whim, Dave Pellow here was up on stage with me the very first time.
Dave is the bass player this morning, by the way.
And it was on a whim. I asked a friend of mine if I could read something. And then I immediately regretted it as he dragged me up on stage. And we did something.
You regretted it before you did it.
Right,
right.
I was
having to follow through on your commitment. Okay.
Right. And it went so well that the musicians around me haven't let me stop. So I just kept doing it more and more, and now I'm doing shows and playing with them regularly.
And where are you appearing locally?
Club Cafe and Ham Bones are two of my regular performance spots.
Excellent. And we mentioned Dave a moment ago, but David Dickinson is also here, and Jesse Hoffman on guitar and viola, respectively. And they reminded me that they were here. Here I go. They were here a few weeks ago.
Jeremy,
thank you, with Jeremy Kaywood. I had a long night, and it's been a long morning, but they were here with them. You had the black electric viola that was quite unusual. And also Eric Brandt Hoover is playing conga this morning. So some of the – I would imagine the piece you just read, was that written some time ago? Does it go back?
No, that was actually written probably 6 to 8 months ago.
Okay, so are you reading? I guess what I'm getting at is performing your writing is something you started doing a year ago, but does your writing go back significantly further?
Significantly. Yeah. I have journals.
I would think it would.
Journals upon journals of poetry, but I started writing for performance specifically. Since I started doing this, I had some pieces that I had written years ago that worked in this type of venue, and then I started writing for this specific type of performance. So
there's more I want to get to know about you, but I want to be sure we get some more pieces in. And we'll turn it over to you. What would you like to do next? Is there a title?
Yeah, this is a quirky one. Lollygag and Banana. I have a lot of heavy pieces. I have many heavy pieces, and so I try to really explore the lighter side of things when I can. And so this is when I talk to the musicians before we perform. This is one that I've described as if the Muppets were going to do performance poetry, maybe this is my Muppet poem.
Once again, here's Joanna Love.
From now on, when I want to use the word love as a verb, I will say lollygag. Isn't that charming? Sweet? Sure, a little bizarre, perhaps, but no one could ever accuse me of jumping the gun. Or being too clingy. Or too dismissive. Or sounding too serious, or being too serious, for that matter. Lollygagging would lose its reputation for being scary, because, let's be honest, who would admit to being afraid of lollygagging? And when I want to use the word love as a noun, I will now say banana. A completely unintimidating fruit renowned for its qualities the world over. Yes. Let us rename love banana. I.e., I'm in banana. Let's go, bananas. Wouldn't the world be a better place if it wasn't such an ordeal to talk about? Or tell another person? Or lose? Some people cry over spilled milk, but no one ever cried over lost bananas. And so, the next time you hear, I don't lollygag you anymore, it'll sound so ridiculous, you'll both burst out laughing and hug and be friends forever. Because there's no reason not to be. And if someone says lollygag and doesn't mean it, who cares? It won't matter. And next time you have a banana that for whatever reason you would die for, change your life for, end for, when that banana disappears forever because all bananas go bad, when it disappears, you'll remember that there are plenty more on the tree. And that banana wasn't anything special anyway, because it was just a banana. Life is short. And it's hard to say the things we should. It's hard to live. So if it helps at all, even just a little, remember it's only lollygag and banana.
Joanna Lowe here at the Saturday Live Brigade. That was fun. So when you're writing for performance, yeah, as opposed to for yourself, tell me a little bit about the difference.
Well, I noticed if I get too deep into large, overly eloquent words, long descriptors, it gets bogged down. Repetitive phrases tend to work. Nice change of keys. If there's more structure, it's easier to follow.
So something a bit perhaps more like a song, because if you're writing something pretty intricate, you really, no matter how well you engage the audience, they probably, as most people read poetry over and over and over again multiple times in, you know, relatively short works.
Right.
So they don't have the luxury of doing that when you're performing. So I guess you need to be sure you leave that imprint the first time.
Exactly. I need to give a pretty steady through line so the audience can follow and the musicians can follow.
And what do you think about that? Does that excite you? Because it's a very different... it's a very different art, really.
Very different. It definitely excites me.
Yeah, I guess I was real, right after that came out of my mouth. Clearly, it excites you, or you wouldn't be here doing it. But it's really different.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. It's completely different from learning lines and performing on stage as an actor, or writing for the page. Visual art is very different from performance art, and I've had to really hone my writing to think about what kind of instrumentation I want with it, how I would say it out loud. And if it doesn't sound good coming out of my mouth, then I need to change it on the paper if I feel like performing it.
I suspect there's a lot of improv going on between the five of you, and that's got to be... not a challenge, but I mean, shows can go a lot of different ways depending on the moods you're in and the audience that's there to see you. And do you pretty much feel every performance of the same work truly differs as you do it?
Absolutely. Even if... Dave Dickinson and I got together, and he came up with a very bare structure, chord structure for the beginning of each piece, just to have a little preparation. But even in that, the timing differs. The other musicians, his timing differs. So we don't like to go any more practice than that, because the natural quality of the live performance, we really like to persevere. But almost every single... No, every single time I perform, it's always improv, and I give them a descriptor ahead of time because most of them haven't read what I'm like, oh, I have this new piece.
And it's not always.
I've played with everyone in this room before, but I've played with several other people too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's seven.
It's interesting to think about it, and I draw the parallel really, I think, with monologists who... not to draw comparisons really, but just a parallel, it is you really have to tell a story and engage as an actor in a way that's really markedly different than you would have to do in a play itself. In fact, in a play, people are pretty much accustomed to being quiet and to listening attentively. So one of the challenges I would imagine you have is you are on stage. There are musicians there, after all, so we can talk amongst ourselves cough and order food. And so is it a struggle sometimes to not a struggle, but it's got to be essential, I would imagine, to like – kind of put that lasso out and grab people.
Absolutely.
So that they're watching you. Tell me about that a little. I'm curious.
I find one of two things in a bar or a music venue setting. People do. They become very accustomed to talking, and the music happens in the background, and then when it stops, people clap. And it's either much easier to ignore somebody talking instead of singing, or the room goes dead. Quiet, huh. And everybody's attentive.
Yeah.
So the latter reaction is awesome when that happens. The first one, it's really frustrating to go through because I feel like music is always a pleasant background. Talking is really easy to ignore if you're not tuned into it. But when the room does go silent, and I've had wonderful opportunities, wonderful situations where the room, it's holding its breath and everybody is
waiting. That's got to be the ultimate experience. And then it's got to be I mean, if you're a musician and you're playing, it's not necessarily it can be a bummer if everybody's talking as you're playing, especially if you're playing something really evocative or something really personal. But it to me, it seems somehow a little bit more of I don't want to say a diss, but more of a problem if you're up on stage speaking, particularly your own words and your own heart, and people are not listening. Somehow I give music, like, or lovers of music, a little bit more of a free pass for that. and I'm not sure why. I think it's because the language is so important.
And I didn't realize, it's silly, I guess, being an actor, I didn't realize quite how personal I was getting, where I kept asking my friends, why am I so scared all the time? And it took me a while to really get used to this. And they were like, well, this is really personal. You're kind of burying yourself, and you don't have the music as a cushion. And I went, oh, my goodness, what am I saying? So every once in a while, I have that sort of doubling experience of, oh, great, everyone's listening to absolutely what I'm feeling. There's without cushion. I'm sort of opening my diary to the world.
If you're just joining us, this is Joanna Lowe. And after the next piece, we'll talk a little bit about where you may be able to see her and hear her coming up. She's backed by four great musicians today. And she's prepared to do something next. Will it be bananas? Will it be lollygag? Who knows? She knows. What's it going to be?
This is Song of a Sinner. And this is about saying hallelujah in any situation. I have lifted the voice you gave me in a simple song of praise. Shouted Hosanna from the mountains, so the rocks themselves cry out. I have sung simply and sung Alleluia. Alleluia. I have muttered in the darkness, in an earnest word of prayer, lifted all my longings to lay them at your feet. I have prayed earnestly, and so prayed Alleluia. Alleluia. Have cried out from the valley in a broken wail of sob, lifted empty hands with heavy heart from the shadow in despair. I have wept brokenly, and yet wept Alleluia. Alleluia. I have fallen to my knees in a voiceless, empty plea. Lifted my eyes without the strength to speak, a limp and silent need. I have breathed voiceless. And breathed still. Alleluia. Alleluia. I have lived gracelessly in this long and fearsome race, lifting my imperfect song with faltering and hunted love. It's not much of a psalm, this hymn of weakness, rising in feeble voice to offer you the song of myself. The broken clang of a broken life. But I have lifted the voice you gave me, and I will sing. And sing ever, alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Saturday Light Brigade, and really fun to listen to Joanna Lowe. There's a lot of intricacy as you listen, you know, with the instrumentation. Dave Pellow here, Jesse Hoffman, David Dickinson, and Eric Brandhoover. Typically, is this the kind of mood? Are you looking for a jazz feel, a jazz improv feel? You mentioned you play with other musicians, too, but it's hard for me to imagine what you're doing. Well, it's not hard to imagine, but I'm suspecting that you typically want to stay in a jazz idiom.
Yes. The musicians may be able to speak more to that, but that's my understanding.
Yeah. whether it's a jazz
idiom. Right, right. I know that the first time we performed, it was a four or five piece jazz improv band behind me, and it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I can imagine. So do you play an instrument?
I don't.
So this has got to be a new feeling for you to be on stage with musicians.
Absolutely. It's been an intimidating experience. I've tried very hard to get over, and sometimes I'm successful.
What makes it intimidating?
Well, I felt often like I'm walking in here and tromping over somebody else's expertise. And I know that that's not, but I come from an acting background and a writing background. And now, but Dave Pellow gave me one of the greatest compliments of my life when he said that my speaking is music. My speaking is very musical and easy to follow. And that was amazing to hear, and quite a compliment.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But you would probably feel as I guess the leader of the group, yet the one without what most people would call musical chops, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that's the intimidating part, like is saying, hey, David, I need you to do this, or this isn't working for me.
And right, exactly. So I'm directing musicians on their expertise for something that I want.
Yeah, and that would be it would feel odd. Although I'm sure once it's made clear that you've got the license to do that and it's cool, you feel better about it.
Right, but, right, exactly.
Yeah, I can actually relate to that. I can definitely relate to that, being for the most part a non-musician, but working with a lot of musicians. Joanna Lowe is who you're hearing. We're going to have time probably for two more pieces, I think, at the rate we're going. Are you playing or performing anywhere soon that we should mention coming up? And if you don't know, I'll look. But
let me think about that. I regularly play with these guys, oftentimes at the open mics at Club Cafe and Hambones. But, pardon? Oh, there's a girly show coming up in later this month, or definitely in July. I play with a few other women, and we've appropriately called it the girly show. Several musicians and myself.
Yeah, I see. I just I'll post a link to your Facebook page on our Facebook page. Oh, you went to Geneva.
Look at I did. That.
The things you can learn by looking at somebody's Facebook page.
I was fourth generation.
Hang on one second. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I believe I was fourth generation Genovite. My mother and her brother and her father and his sister, and possibly more. There are a lot of us that went to Geneva. I believe your wife went to Geneva as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Genovites. That's a nice way of putting it. Joanna Lowe is who you're hearing. We'll give you a second to if you'd like to just mount that microphone back for you. And then I think we'll have time for two more. I want to make sure we have enough space in which to present you. Gio is doing a great job with sound today. Ken Garcia, technical associate here. And couple more are coming up. There's negotiation going on here right now to figure out what's new. I hope I'll see you, by the way, this summer reading extravaganza tomorrow. I'll be there from noon until 5. And Janessa Schuler is at Heritage Day at Riverview Park today from 1 until 3. And the aforementioned Gio and me, and I believe Ben Rutkowski, are making Father's Day cards here at the museum from 1 to 4. Ricky will be here, but maybe taking a nap. We'll see. What's next, Joanna?
Well, this is a song that would be a love song if it could.
First two lines in silence.
If I was to write a love song, I don't know what it would say. I can't tell you that love lasts forever. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it just stops breathing one day. Sometimes it limps, gasping, to the finish line, and sometimes simply fades away. I can't tell you that love brings out the best in us. I've seen love drive good men mad, good hearts turn to stone, and I've seen love so poisoned. Some have chosen lives alone. I can tell you that love gives you wings, but no protection for the fall. And while you may soar forever, my dear, You may not soar at all. So why bother? I've known it's easier to live without magic feet and heart fixed to the ground. But what's life, you ask, without the stars to wish on? Or the rare miracle of music's sound. I don't know. I can't tell you all's fair in love and war, because it's not. The cards are stacked, it's luck of the draw, no promise for what's in store. I can tell you that love is blind, and it sees with fickle and inconstant eyes, turning faults to glory in a moment, and gentle truths to lies. Madness. And while it may be the best visit to lunacy you've ever made, in the end, you may never leave, and that is love's trade, a devil's deal.
contracts, always written in blood. Our veins split open and spilling promises and promising pain. Or pleasure. But no one knows, my dear, so I could tell you stories of myself, tales of woes of my experience with love. I've flown and fallen, broken and beaten, dead for all the life I spent in hope, for all the useless things I've said and done and sang and screamed or tried to explain or save. I've been abandoned. And I've abandoned, stolen back the hope I gave. I've run love out of my body, and I've written love out of my mind. And I've slept inside the snake's nest because cruelty felt more kind than love ever did. So I don't know what to tell you, dear, about love. This song about love, yes, but not some winged dove. My love now is a broken crow, a mewling, crying, crippled thing, afraid and vicious and without hope. A flight again on mended wing. So if I were to write a love song, I don't know what it would say, because I don't much trust it anymore. A rabid creature that would bite me any day. So when it comes to love, I don't know what to say. There's almost never forever, and very rarely never. Or always. I can't tell you. I believe in love. But my dear, I do believe in you. And I hope for your sake, since I cannot, you can believe in love for you.
Joanna Lowe at the Saturday Light Brigade, and I think I underestimated the amount of time we have left. We only have about 3 minutes left of radio time, which probably isn't enough time to do something justice. If it is, we can sneak it in, but we'd have to be really quick about it. So we'll try it. As you're getting ready, I'll let you play us out. Thank you for being with us today. Thanks to our guests from the Fairchild Challenge, Shaler Middle School, and to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh, the Joanne Wheeler in Oil City, and Suzanne Finnis from Carnegie Library. Everybody here along with us today, Alistair Mook, who will be here performing at the Arts Festival next week. And also thanks again to Joanna Lowe and her musicians. And I don't want to rush you, but we'll have you sort of finish us out. Thanks for being with us. We'll look for you next week on the Saturday Light Brigade.
Here's to the time that was worth it, that we didn't mess up, that was a gift. And here's to letting go of all the rest and being all right with the emptiness. Here's to the people that took more than they gave because they taught us to be generous. and to the people that gave more than we deserve, because we know the meaning of love now. Here's to meaning what we say every single time we say it, even if it's terrifying. And to not saying everything we mean, because not everything should be said out loud, even if it is true. Here is to regret, because if we are wise, we will learn and make the rest of our lives worth the lesson. And to forgiving others and ourselves, because we all will always need a second chance. Here is to living with passion, because to deny it is to spit in the face of the Creator, or whatever you want to call him, or her, or it. And to living in love, because that is the beginning and the end of this absurd and exquisite thing we've named life.
Thank you to Joanna Lowe and her musicians today, Dave Pello, David Dickinson, Jesse Hoffman, and Eric Brandt Hoover. Or was she their poet? Maybe it's that way. Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on Public Radio.